Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Today's guest is a model, professional cheerleader, and one of the most innovative sports content producers out there. One of her goals is to increase quality coverage for female athletes in all sports, especially the WNBA. And she is coming right up. But first, Darlene, hit it.
Buckets, Boards, and Blocks with Monica McNutt and King McClure is a presentation of Pure Hoops Media. Monica is a former Georgetown Hoyer who likes nothing better than a three in transition and thinks DC ballers are the smartest. King is a former 3-and-D Baylor baller whose idea of a good time is locking down the other team's best scorer. Monica, King, let's do this.
Thank you, Darlene. Okay. Bruce always writes all these great intros and stuff, but all I'm going to say is my good sis, okay, is pulling up. I mean, let me just give a few credentials. First of all, we've already had her on the show, so we're going to check in with the growth of Highlighter because I can't wait to hear those stories. But let's go into a little bit of her journey. She's a journalist, a whole model, not an Instagram model, a real model, like a runway model. Living just outside of New York City in Jersey. Hometown is Raleigh, North Carolina. It's taken her from there to Oxford University in the UK, back to New York. I said she's walked runways for real designers, not your little friends, okay? Been in fashion magazines, Cosmopolitan, Vogue, Italia, The Wedding Joint, Adidas, Foot Locker, represents for the Jordan brand. And she's been the in-arena host for the Connecticut Sun of the WNBA. She currently reports in the WNBA, NCAA Women's Basketball, is expanding her knowledge to NWSL, the National Women's Soccer League, is the brains behind the Bleacher Report account Highlighter. And let me tell you, she's been with me shooting in the gym. It's been such a journey. Ari, boo, good morning.
Good morning. I wouldn't want to spend my morning with anybody else but my good sis. My good sis.
Hi, love.
How are you doing? First of all, first of all, we rained out my resume. I just want to let you know that every night I see you in that studio, I'm like, yes, Miss Monica, yes. Give me all the energy, all of it, yes. And that green dress, everything.
Green dress, as I called it. Sorry, King, I love you. Welcome. This is Ari, which is totally.
Oh, my.
How you doing?
What up? I'm over here, you know, how y'all doing? Out of everybody that we've ever had on the show, that had to be top three intros I've ever heard. Matter of fact, that probably was number one intro, best intro I ever heard you do.
It's literally so dramatic.
Worthy though. Like, we're going to get into this W season. I wanted you here because obviously the W kicked off this past weekend. But really quickly, King, just to give you a synopsis, like, we was with Ari when Highlighter was still called We Are Jayla and had 2,000 followers, and that's one of the most popular women's social media accounts, and literally we're looking at the brains behind the operation, the whole vision. She's always taken an incredible stand for women's sports, and I know my approach has kind of been, I cover it all, but at the same time, we needed folks like Ari to really pull and drive and bring energy as she when it comes to WNBA, and I think Ari, in year 25, is paying off crazy.
Well, inform me a little bit, Ari, because, I mean, for the people out there, I'm kind of ignorant to this. This is my first time hearing it, no disrespect. So please inform me and everybody else out there who haven't heard about what Highlighter is.
So Highlighter is just a community to uplift women and girls in the sport, no matter what age, ability, level, generation. And it's been my baby from the ground up, literally from 0 to 100. And it's just celebrating us in a space where we can excel. We can do normal things. We can be about the culture. We can fail. Like, everybody always puts stock in the men's game, and my intention is to stay on the women's side. So it's a reflection of that. And then storytelling and amplification of athletes and artists' stories. So I just like to think of myself personally as the megaphone for that. I'm the type of journalist that I'm like, I don't come in with the agenda. I just want you to tell your story your way and get that across. And that's the whole point of Highlighter. It was named We Are J-Lo, but we don't speak life into dead things. So we let that go. We let that go. And now it's a subset of House of Highlights, which is all encompassing of Bleacher Report and Turner Sports. And then now we have a show, a weekly show with Renee Montgomery on NBA TV, WNBA Weekly. And Highlighter has its own segment. So I'm really excited about that.
Oh, that's a move. I love that. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mom. Thank you. Get my little TV on.
It is dope that Renee, I wasn't sure if Renee was going to still be able to keep her hand on that with her new job.
Mm-hmm. Renee literally has 10,000 jobs.
You talk about me showing up with energy. Like, Renee show up ready to rock and roll.
I mean, y'all are queens.
No matter the cause, she don't play. But that's so awesome. We obviously, last week you hit a little NBA TV talking WNBA. What about a month ago with you and Stephanie Reddy and the roundtable was kind of teased broadcast. I mean, how proud are you of the growth of Highlighter and its ability to stay true to your original mission?
I think that the second that I deviate from my mission is the second it fails. And I say that because we get caught up in competition of like what platform does what in bigger companies, right? But I want to make sure that we know, like, I know we preach that there's space for everybody and there is, but I want to make sure we know that the whole point of platforms like mine and all the others is to push the game forward. So that's inviting new platforms to come. That's inviting new fans to come. I know there's been a lot of Twitter talk about, oh, they've been only a fan for like 2 months. I'm like, okay, so those 2 months, that means we're doing the right job. And so seeing Highlighter still, like, you know, grow and permeate with everybody and expand to linear and really go into the Turner space is a clear indicator that we're doing something right. And I'm a fan of the game first. That's what I mean. I have a journalism background. I was a writer. I still am a writer. I'm going to start writing for BleacherReport.com. Actually, after my SI article now, it's going to like be an evolution to BleacherReport.com. So you have a look out for that. But communicating that passion with other people is literally the entire point of it all. And so that's what I want to maintain. And I want to try to learn other sports and challenge myself to soccer, which I didn't previously, you know, I wasn't previously in tune with. I love volleyball. That was my sport. That's what I played. So having that and cheerleading as well and track and field, we have Krishan Williams working on the platform too. And she ran track at an elite level. So just bringing that aspect on it, we have Jasmine Brown who has the history part of it. So just incorporating everybody's strengths and their love for the game and letting that translate through social media.
So I know a lot of times, like for me, specifically, I didn't find my purpose until I had to go through something in life. Mm-hmm. So when was it for you that you were able to say, hey, Highlighter is my purpose. This is what I'm put on this earth to do. When was that moment for you to realize that?
It's funny because Highlighter is just a reflection of what my purpose is. It's not my purpose. So Monica has seen me sitting up in that hotel room with her crying because I didn't know where I would go. I didn't know if I wanted to stay with the game or not. I would say, I tell the story a lot, the 2018 WNBA All-Star with Liliana, the little girl who went viral sitting in front of the Maya Moore poster and with her arms outstretched just like Maya. And I met her and she put my media pass around her neck. And then the next day her dad would said to me, Ari Lily can't stop talking about how she has hair just like mine. And so it's that representation that made me stay in it. And it's the fact that when I hear players' stories, I'm like, gosh, these players are tired or they're energized and they want their story told. And there's so many layers to it that I'm like, I can't stop what I'm doing no matter how tired I am, because these stories are still not being told. These discrepancies are still here. These celebrations are still to be had. But I would say like my going through things was when I was spending like $5,000 per season to cover the league. People see it now when it's like hot and cool to cover, but they don't realize like, hey, like this whole gifting us and sending us places and sending us front row, that wasn't a thing. I would even say in 2019. So just having to work for something strictly based off passion, really no incentive and not knowing if it would ever pay off was my hardship. But now seeing all the benefits that come with it is cool, But it's like you go back to why you did it, and why you were gritting it out, and why now when you bust open the door, everybody's running through, and you love to see it, because it's like a, like you don't work so hard to break down these barriers and push the button and the envelope for other people to struggle too. So seeing people not struggling in the way that maybe me or Monica or Angel had to struggle and had to compete is really, really cool too.
Woo! A word.
They don't know. Look, Monica, they don't know, because these gift packages did not used to come. Okay? Everybody's asking for them. I'm like, they weren't there.
You see, what? It was, you know, pre or post game coverage. Like, halftime was on site. Like,
right.
The growth of the game has been tremendous. And I think the timing that it's year 25 for this particular league is just so poetic. It's really, really beautiful. But we definitely follow Highlighter King. I don't know if you do, but you need to now. You got to put my piece on Highlighter because it's hilarious videos. She would love it.
I just followed it.
There you go. No excuse. I'm like, what you do? Did you follow me? Look, my phone is in my hand. Don't play me.
Look, I just follow Highlighter, and I'm about to follow Ari too.
Definitely. I mean, she's a whole model. Like, don't worry. She just be shutting it down daily, all over the place, getting rest, taking fabulous pictures. And then there's me, like, jeez.
You're literally fab. I live.
All right, so let's get into it. Highlighter will be documenting season 25. But all right.
Opening- hey, wait, Monica. Before we get into anything else, I got to know the story of how y'all two met. Because you said in the intro she was shooting in the gym. And Ari was talking about the late nights when she was crying. So right. I got to know how y'all met.
How the heck
do you? It's not literally shooting in the gym with me, but
I mean, I know, but I know what you meant, but like, I mean, y'all go way back. So okay. I got another story.
We met in DC. You and Jazz. We were sitting at a Mystics game. And I knew Jazz, Jasmine Brown, just from like the Maryland circles, or maybe did I meet Jazz at the same time? I might have met both of y'all at the same time.
Had to.
On some like, hey, you covering the Mystics? Like, who are you? Like, hi. Like, that's literally how it started.
It had to be like 2017, 2018. One of them years.
Yeah. So I'm sitting in press room, and Rob Knox was there.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Knox is such a salt of the earth type dude. It was just like, who is this tall chick in these heels and this blue dress? Like, what? And they're just so giddy. Like, who are they?
Girl, I used to be stepping out. Now I'm over here in my little matching set sweatpants. Not caring, but no, we met on press row, and it's funny because, like I said, the game has grown, so there weren't many of us back then at all. So you gonna get to know each other.
Yeah, you were coming back and forth from Jersey, right?
I'm from New York. Yeah, I would fly because I wanted it so bad, and yeah. So I would find my way to DC. I would find my way to Connecticut. I would find my way. Well, I was Liberty Games. I was a cheerleader, so I had to go there. But like, I would find my way to LA. And cover these games just to get my face out there and get people to know me and like respect, because I'm a cheerleader. Like, that's at the end of the day. Like, you have to get your credibility up. So getting to know these people, learning under like Monica and Christy and, you know, Megan, all of them, like how to learn. Walk up to LaChina at 2017 draft, said, you're my goals personified. I want to be you. And she took me under her wing too. So it's just a matter of just meeting people.
Yeah. And King, I will say this, Ari has pushed, like, I'm an ex-athlete. Like, I didn't necessarily, like, I did push, but there was always a credential there, right? Mm-hmm. But Ari didn't necessarily play basketball. I can remember her saying that she wanted to get on the editorial side. And now when people are like, who are your top followers for WNBA information? Like, she's up there with Howard and, like, all the people that you follow in terms of the relationships that she's built, the information that she gets, the perspective that she brings. It's just been so dope to watch her, like, blossom and become all that she is.
Thank you. And last thing, because we really have to get into WNBA, and this is not a podcast on me. Just treat people like people. Like, it's not, there's no other agenda behind it. There's no, like, I want to talk to this person to get to the top. I had no intention of using anybody to get to, you know, where I wanted to be. It's just like, this is a dope chick right here. And look at Monica, she's doing it. And I want to do it too, but like, I want to do it my way. And I'm going to celebrate her when she's doing it her way. And that's how it's always been. And that's how it always will be.
Well, genuine, that's how it should be. Like, of course, the W is a space that I believe breathes that. For the most part, we got a couple people that don't follow that. But just, you know, I think that's a rule of the industry, King, too. Like, be you. You take yourself with you wherever you go. And I think that good things follow if that's what you bring to the table. So, all right. To the opening weekend of season 25, count it. My favorite slogan of all time. I'm always dropping that slogan. Where do we start, guys? Okay, Sabrina made some history.
Sabrina made some history 6 games into her career, 3 games into the season.
Made some incredible history, joins an elite group of folks on Tuesday night where she notched a 20-point triple-double. There's only 8 triple-doubles in the league. She became the youngest to do it, passing Dawana, why am I going to call her Child Bonner? That is not her name. Nolan, Dawana Nolan, who did it at 25. Sabrina does it at 23. She also is one of 2 people now to have a 20-point triple-double. It's just her and Lisa Leslie. I will say, watching Sabrina, I was like, she's good, don't get me wrong, but don't underestimate the W. There's a learning curve.
Everybody said that.
And took off.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny, Monica, because last year, I don't know if it would have happened because the team as it was last year, she has a better support system around her this year, more talent around her, well-roundedness around her that can make things happen. So you can't get assists if people aren't making baskets. That just doesn't happen. But Sabrina has such a role on this team where she's a facilitator, she's a scorer, she can get under there and get the rebound. Like, and that's what's going to contribute to that. I don't think this is going to be her only triple-double either. And that's like prematurely saying it, but this was against Minnesota. This wasn't against like a scrub team. Like the first 2 games, and this is no knock to Indiana, we were still figuring out what New York was going to do because that was the competition that, you know, that was a must win for them. And then you get against Minnesota and you're still showing out and you're able to distribute and contribute like that. So I just love the leadership she's taken on. I love the production she has on the court. I love that she doesn't get rattled by all the chatter. I love that she's not necessarily inherently like, I want to do this for, you know, for me, but I'm going to do the things that I need to do to get my team to be where they are. Because Liberty hasn't gone 3-0 since 2007. So she's doing all the right things with the help around her as well. And so it's just a better, more well-rounded team. And I can see her doing this more in the future, which is crazy.
So with y'all being the experts on this and me just being a fan, but y'all are actual experts. So with what we're seeing right now in Sabrina, are we potentially maybe, I know it's kind of early, but are we potentially maybe looking at a potential top 5 player ever?
I think you're calling this really, really early. I think we'll at least finish the season, but she's making history then. Mm-hmm.
I thought you meant this season. I will say, King, and obviously if she averages close to a triple-double, you're going to have her in your MVP conversation. Mm-hmm. Like a no-brainer. I will say, I am curious, and Dre and I talked about this briefly on set last night. What now is the recalibrated ceiling for this New York team?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not necessarily putting them in my favorites to win at all. Mm-hmm. But Benaja Laney?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Like, yeah. Most improved last year. If she can win the award again, she might take another leap. They look really good. And I think similar to Dallas, this is a league that is certainly driven by veterans.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that something about New York, something about Dallas is almost that house money mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And the youth of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're going to get up and down the floor and defend teams. Give me your best vets. Like, gonna be a close game, you know what I'm saying? You may take the edge, but these are not going to be teams that you're going to be able to roll over. So I'm really excited to see what the Liberty look like as we get into the season. And the other part, Rebecca Lobo made this point on Saturday, we've got the Olympic break this year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one, first of all, you hope everybody stays healthy, but the Olympic break will allow folks maybe dealing with injuries to get right, maybe you get in the gym. We could in theory be looking at 2 different seasons depending on how teams use that time, depending on how things go with stars that are actually competing in the Olympics. So this year's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, 100%. And what you were talking about with the Liberty, I think the whole morale thing too, going to Barclays, having that fresh start, getting the new coach when it's not in the bubble, it's all these things. And then Benaja keeps finding better fits for herself, keeps finding bigger roles with each team she goes with, starting out in Indiana, then going to Atlanta, now in New York, where she, I mean, soon like has to have a bigger role because she does have those years under her belt. And we still haven't added Natasha Howard. So that's some rebounding that will, you know, come into play. And that's going to be really cool to watch. I'm not getting ahead of myself because, you know, New York is technically my beat because I live here. But I expect way better things. I mean, they've already beat their record from last year. And they're only going to add more to them. And so that excites me. And, yeah, with Dallas, that's a team that I'm confused about. I'm going to say flat out, I have no idea what to expect from Dallas.
I thought they looked good on Saturday.
Did.
Was it Saturday or Friday? Anyway, opening weekend. Mm-hmm. I thought, they're just gonna run up and down the floor like, this could be interesting. It's a really young team. Mm-hmm. Isabel Harrison, Alicia Gray had a good game. I mean,
Charlie had a good game.
One more time.
Charlie had a double double.
Charlie had a double double. Those three are your vets, and I don't think either of them is over. I know they're not over 5 years in the league. They might all be at four. But Charlie looked strong in her opening performance for sure. Of course, bear in mind, plenty of teams are missing pieces still.
Yep.
Like, I don't put too much stock in the Mystics getting whopped over the weekend. Obviously,
something needs to happen offensively. Elena needs to come back.
They need Elena to come back. I think they're still trying to figure out, which is weird to say, what Tina Charles as a Mystic looks like in terms of playing through her.
And that's what I'm going to say, Erica. I'll pose that question. I said, what does that look like, Coach T? And then there was a level of defensiveness around it, but that was a very valid question. How is she going to learn how to distribute, like, what is her role on the Mystics? And that's what we all need to look out for. I think it was just a very valid question.
Yeah, I mean, and she said, Kim Adams did a great job in a couple of the in-game interviews, and she's like, we're shooting the ball too much. Like, she's very frank. You respect her as a leader and Olympian, all that.
100%.
They will figure it out. I do think the biggest piece to the Mystics, though, is Elena not being on the floor, period. Yeah.
And that's what it is. When you take out your MVP, when you take out your all-star, you're rocking your team, your core, your team. It's like...
They do also miss Misiman, in my mind. But these are things that stood out to me. JJ, listen, talk about the players coming back, right?
Period.
Like, I forgot how many folks sat out last year. Yep. And no disrespect to role players, but like big time names. Like when mm-hmm. Jackie put up 30 or whatever she put up Friday, I was like, oh yeah, she definitely was tweeting about from the Bahamas and the prime minister all last year. Like and she's such a beast.
Yeah, she is. And she's so like one through five. Just, I love seeing her. Go ahead.
John Cole Jones, we're talking about of the Connecticut. Oh, yeah. All right, educate. Okay, go.
Yeah, I mean, she's the rock of that team too to me. And Courtney Williams said it best back when she played for Connecticut, that there's nobody touching JJ. And I think that, like, you know, Connecticut's slogan is always disrespect. Nobody's really disrespecting y'all, come on. But at the same time, we do overlook the strength of JJ because, you know, for whatever reason, but she can be all on the floor. She's such a presence that draws in so much attention. But she delivers and she opens up opportunities for her teammates. So I love Connecticut. And you know, I want to know when they're going to start thinking people disrespect them.
Watch myself or I end up on a disrespect tour tape.
Right, let me not get tweeted at.
You gotta talk about your girl in Chicago. And teams that looked ready in game one for me, mm-hmm. Chicago and Seattle.
Mm-hmm. The fluidity on offense, I was just like, this is beautiful basketball. The movement... Just, you know, there are a few times where I'm like, oh God, they have to learn how to read Candace's passes because sometimes they'd be like a little, you know, her and Chelsea Gray, both of them. It's just interesting to see how they facilitate. But just that offense looks so nice to me. It was very pretty.
It was fluid. When she got the rebound, took two dribbles and threw a one-handed dime to Khalid. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is a championship. This is like, what's going on here?
That's like literally my favorite team to watch as it stands right now. And that, I mean, I might be speaking from a bias lens, who cares? But it was just beautiful basketball. And I love the hustle of all that. They're just athletic. And so just to see the athleticism with them, with the veteran leadership, you mentioned how the vets carry the league. This is a fairly vet heavy team that just had that one missing piece, right? They had that one missing piece and they have Candace now. So seeing if that piece is going to be what it takes to get them to where they wanted to be for so long. But then they also have like the athleticism of Diamond DeShields and Kalia Copper. They also have, you know, the shooting of Allie Quigley. They also have Courtney Vandersloot doing the Courtney Vandersloot thing, facilitating. And so it's really like, I'm really excited for Chicago. I think that's the one that energizes me the most out of everybody else, because just seeing if this is the one puzzle piece that they were missing every year after year, we're like, what happened? What's going on? And so just, I think this is going to be the tipping point, but I hope they don't peak too early.
They're going to have that Olympic break. They'll space it out.
Yeah.
Diamond DeShields healthy is a fun sight to see. It's good to see. All right. So God, we jumped on a lot. Anybody else that stood out for, you know, great reasons or, ooh, y'all need to get it together over opening weekend?
Balanced Reasons was Vegas and Seattle. It was like the first game, I was like, ooh, all these additions to Vegas, I ain't doing what they need to do. This offense looks crazy. But then the second game, they were like, smack, cool. And so
their defensive connectivity and energy in that second game. Mm-hmm. The thing with Vegas, and this has been for a year now, a couple years for me now following that team, even though they got to the finals last year, they are very Jekyll and Hyde. Mm-hmm. Like the one thing you count on is Asia will give you some buckets, but everybody else, like,
yeah, we just don't know when they're gonna show, who's gonna show up where. And so Miss Jackie Kong did her thing last night. She must have heard the Twitter webs. She said, oh, y'all don't think? Cool. I said, okay, Miss Jackie.
I would like to see a little bit more differentiation in Jackie's game. But yesterday, I just think Vegas threw that first punch. Like, we were talking about Seth. And I was like, Jackie sometimes give me a little Russell Westbrook vibe because you know what she's going to do. Mm-hmm. Hey, Seattle just couldn't stop her. And it's fine. Do your thing, sis. But I would like to see a little bit more. That's the next step for me.
Yeah, there were glimpses of hope for me with Jackie Young. And I was like, oh, okay.
This is
good to watch. This is good to see.
Let's see. The Sparks. Sparks there.
I don't know. I don't know. They have one game under their belt. They don't have another one for like ever. I don't know what adjustments need to be made. King, I don't know if you watch the Sparks. I don't know. I think that they underestimated the core of them leaving. I don't know if that's an underestimation or they just haven't been able to make an adjustment to their new roster, because this is a very different Sparks team than we've seen before. So I think it's just getting all those shakies out the way, but no clue. None.
That was a puzzling opening performance from them. Dallas got maybe that's why Dallas to me was like, oh, are they going to be really good? The Sparks couldn't keep up. They just flat out couldn't keep up. Who else did we get this weekend? Minnesota. Cheryl Reeve always has her gang ready to rock and roll.
Until it hit the Liberty. I'm just kidding.
Buzzer beater, DT took them out. But in terms of it, I thought they looked good.
They did. I was just being facetious. That was just me being. I've been having exciting moments at the cost of Minnesota. And that's been my opening weekend watching them. But no, like, I'm excited about Phoenix. Brittany is in a better headspace. Mm-hmm. And it shows. It's resonating on the court. Like, I think Kia Nurse is a great fit. I love that she gets to, again, this league is all about fits. It's not necessarily talent. We all know that they're talented, but just Kia Nurse coming in and fitting very well with what Phoenix is trying to do. But I think that their main thing, I mean, outside of DT doing DT things, and even though she might not show up the whole game, she's going to show up when it matters. But definitely when Brittany Griner's in a better headspace, Phoenix is more solid.
I'm 14-10 last night, if my... she definitely had a double-double. I'm not 100% sure I got those numbers right. But she made a great point post-game about the level of intensity not dropping when Sandy Marshall goes to her bench. And so Phoenix, for me, was my dark horse favorite. Mm-hmm. Favorites. Obviously, you got to talk Seattle and Las Vegas. But then it was Chicago for me.
Chicago.
You got to throw DC in there, too. Elena Deladon and Tina Charles, like, please. Natasha Cloud running your one. Like, come on. Got to talk about that. But there's just so much energy this year surrounding this league. And I'm so, so, so very excited about the buy-in. Like, mm-hmm. there's more games on TV, mm-hmm. more games, more networks. We saw over the weekend that viewership was up from the ABC doubleheader.
25%.
It's so beautiful. All right, but let's talk a couple things, Ari. Rookies, but not just rookies. Rookies also in your space, because next week, hopefully, we're going to tap in with some guests that are looking specifically at the monetization, is that the word I want? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Rookies and their social followings and these brands, and like, we loved the drafts, and I know you kind of operate in that space. What do you think that has done in terms of growing the game?
So I think that this is another case where we've been so protective of our league and making sure that everything is about basketball, but sometimes it really is about branding. And I challenge people to let these players be themselves and express themselves as they are so that these brands can align with them. So I know that, again, yesterday there was a lot of talk about Kaiser and how it's like, yeah, she's only scored 5 points. Yeah, that might be true, but she's attracting eyes to the league that wouldn't necessarily be attracted to the league. And I understand it's predominantly like we've been a predominantly like queer audience or like, you know, that type of audience, and that's fine. But to attract, this is a new generation, and we should be open to that. And I don't want to offend anybody with that, but like Kaiser knows what she's doing as she's on social media. She knows that these brands could, you know, she did what she needed to do to get that lucrative Adidas deal. No, she hasn't been able to shine on the court, but it's much more than that when a brand decides to align. You see Didi Richards. I see so many natural hair care brands being like, hey girl, these puffs, everything. Capitalize off that. That is their empowerment too. Like, yes, you can be talented on the court. Yes, you can produce on the court, but you're getting this following right. We see that happen with Taya Cooper last year. She saw the momentum around her on social media. She started posting accordingly. And now she's getting deal after deal because of it. You see the advertisements happening online because of it. You see the Jordan brand signing deal. Like you see all these things, whereas if she wouldn't have capitalized off of that movement and investment in her or interest in her, then it wouldn't have translated to dollars. We want these players to get paid more. We want to let them be able to utilize what they can to make this money. And that's what it boils down to. Like, it doesn't need to be so, oh my God, this hasn't been historically how it's been.
Right, right, right. That's such a, I was saying to somebody the other day, they were talking about year 25 growing. And I was like, listen, the league will grow when it is treated as a sport, period. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Like, not even just a women's sport. I can't tell you the ins and outs of hockey.
Yeah.
Got a little bit of a grasp on baseball, but don't ask me about philosophies, right? But have I pulled up to a Nats game? Yes. Did I go to the Washington Capitals parade and the Nats parade when they won the titles? Yes. So I'm not asking necessarily to know all 144 players and coaches and the colleges they went to, but I'm asking you, when we have water cooler conversations in sports, did you see Sabrina Ionescu set a record, be part of the daily lexicon in terms of us consuming and growing the game? Like, I think to me, that is the idea of we have arrived and are showing, not even arrived, because the league has thrived for 25 years. So it clearly has staying power. But to me, that will be how we signal the true growth of the game when it becomes part of the daily conversation.
Well, Monica, that comes with network deals, right? So that is like, did you catch it? How are you going to catch it if you're not, if you're a casual fan, you're not buying League Pass. That's just what it is. Unless you're gifted it, you're not buying it. If you're just casual, because I'm not going to buy a hockey league pass. That's just not what I'm going to do. But if I'm like surfing on my channels and I see it on an ESPN, on an NBA TV, on a CBS Sports, on an ABC, I'm going to keep it on there because it's a sport. You're right. Sport is sport. So now people are like, oh, shoot, this is on. Or they're at a bar and they can't help but watch it. And it's like, oh, this is lit. If you're at a bar and you're not necessarily paying attention, but it's the last play of the game and Diana Taurasi pulls up and makes Minnesota lose, or Sabrina pulls up and she, you know, this is technically her rookie year, kind of halfway. And you're looking at it and you're like, oh, I knew her from college. Look at her now. And you're seeing these things happen. You're going to become increasingly invested in it. These network deals that are growing are going to help. It's just direct juxtaposition for the game to grow in general. Again, more money comes from that. More visibility comes from that. More interest comes from that. You see it in merch too. And us like showing the demand is there. Being very vocal about, hey, we really want to see this. And, you know, kudos to, you know, the league and Nike for paying attention, because it's been like a very quick turnover, like the Skylar Diggins-Smith jerseys that everybody wanted. Somebody was notified at Nike in order for that to happen. So just keep being vocal about it and criticism. Like, if you love something, you're going to want the best for it. And so being vocal about like, hey, what do you want from the league? You know, somebody might be listening, but just talking about it from a genuine place of passion and not so much discrepancy, but like, hey, we want this. We want to buy, and showing that the demand is there so the supply can match that. And then that can turn around to investment and like funding.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. Sorry, King, I'm dominating. Clearly we're gushing. We love it.
I mean, look, you good. I love the energy. I mean, just seeing the energy when y'all talk about this is inspiring me. Like, dang, I want to be able to really sit up there and
talk. Touch your orange hoodie on. We see you, King.
Yeah, I think so. But look,
I'm a daggone hoodie.
Hey, to y'all's point, though, I think one thing that really did help with, like, you know, Monica, you said being part of like the water cooler conversations is coronavirus. Because yeah. I think when the WNBA came back, like, for me, I really wasn't a huge fan. Like, I didn't really watch the game like that. But when Corona hit and I was watching it, like that's when I really started admiring these women and really started paying attention, because it was like the main thing on right there. And not just that, then when you saw what they were doing with the social justice issues and how they brought everything to the forefront and they were the leaders, I think that right there was huge for not just me, but for everybody, or I say everybody, but a lot of people really started going towards the women's game and really started becoming more of a true fan of the women's game, especially during that time, probably this time last year, huh? Yeah.
King, I do have one thing to bring up though with that. Mm-hmm. You see the players doing so much extra outside of basketball. My goal is, or my hope is, that they don't have to exhaust themselves. I mean, it's inherent for women to like step in and be on the forefront of things, but like for people to just be drawn to the game as the game. My whole premise has been making me fall in love with these players through their personalities and through, you know, what they do off the court. But like Monica said, that's like a good idea. I'm like, why do they have to do so much for people to be like, oh, I'm gonna buy into this? Why do they have to be on the forefront fighting for social justice? Why do they have to make the headlines in that way? Why can't it be like, let's tune into this basketball and just respect that instead of buying into it because they're so great in so many other ways? That's what I'm challenging the audience to do. You know?
No, I agree with you 110%, because I think that when I saw everything they were doing and I was watching the game, you're right. I probably shouldn't have done that. I should have just been a fan. But once I started watching
Get it how you live. Get into it how you want. You know?
But once I started watching it, I was like, yo, these girls are just as skilled almost as the NBA guys. Like they can do the same things. They can play just as well. And I was shocked, like, because I never really watched. I mean, I saw Baylor because I went to Baylor. So I saw our girls team. But watching WNBA.
Women's team.
I'm sorry.
And that's a correction too. That's like, I don't be like looking at boys basketball. And you don't mean any offense to it, because you're speaking from a perspective of buying into the league and actually like, you know, going forward with it. But it's deeply inherent, right? You're deeply like, you don't know how your subconscious is like literally making it not equal. Because I would never say, like, I watched that boys basketball game yesterday. I call it the MNBA, National Basketball Association. So I'd be like, the men's game.
In King's slight defense, I do. I'd be like, did you see the boys? Because I think like when I still think of myself as, no, I'm not in college, but it's like the girls are playing, the boys are playing. Like, so that's a little bit of like on the ground lingo, but I thought you've made that great point. Our girl, Lindsay, why can't I think of Lindsay's last name right now? Redhead Lindsay.
Oh, you talking about Lindsay Gibbs?
There you go. Lindsay Gibbs, made that point. Christine Brennan has made that point about the inherent power of our language and the way that we even talk about it. So yes, you are on the MNBA.
I just want to set people's intention in the right place. Like, I know your intention is there, but like just the subconscious, it's so deeply rooted, because like you're speaking from such a genuine place and you're like, yeah, I'm bought in, like, cool. I love what they're doing in social justice. But I'm not looking at like Steph Curry being like, oh yeah, he on the forefront of that. I'm like, oh damn, he's a pure shooter. Can I say him? Oh damn, he's a pure shooter. Like, and that's the difference. It's like, we come from this, like, and I'm not really a huge fan of the MNBA. Like, that's, I've seen so many games because I've had to be at 100% of the MSG games. So that's 44 games a season. I'm exhausted from them still, and I haven't cheered since 2018. But I'm not looking at them like, oh yeah, they're on the forefront. Yeah, LeBron does great work in the community, but the first thing people talk about is his talent on the court. And so I want us to come through a lens like, hey, let's see what they're doing in basketball. Yeah, everything that they're doing, like, but if they decide to stop tomorrow because they're tired, which rightfully so, would people still be a fan of the game? And that's where I'm like challenging people to still be watching it.
So here's my question for you, Ari. But it wouldn't, some will make the argument that what they do off the court is more important than what they do on the court.
100%. And I'm a big believer of that. And I don't know if that directly contradicts it, but I want people to come through the buy-in lens.
If I may interject.
Yeah.
I didn't sign up to be social justice warriors and movement leaders. And so, yes, what women have, throughout history, Black women in particular, have answered the call. But when I picked up a basketball, like Sue Bird says it, and at first she's like, people are like, stick to sports. And she's like, we've tried and we don't get attention that way. So we got to use our platform, right? Like, I think you got to be clear, and Ari used the word intention. That's powerful. Yes, what they're doing is so very important. But if I go check out women's college basketball or the Mystics, like, I'm going to go see basketball. The side of using their platform to bring attention to the variety of issues that those women are passionate about is awesome. But if I want to go see a TED Talk, I go see a TED Talk.
And then to clarify, because I know people are going to jump down our throats for that, we're not saying they should just stick to sports. We're saying they should stick to what they want to stick to. And that's what I really want to get people to understand. We saw in 144 the difference of opinion. Yes, they unify together for a common goal, but I will preach this to the end. There are people, we saw Courtney Williams' side, we saw Leilani Mitchell's side, like, who want to ball, and that's fine. Then we see the people on the forefront, like Ariel Atkins and Natasha Cloud, who are like, no, this is more important, and that's fine. That's great to all have those opinions, but just give the option of just playing. I'm definitely not saying just stick to sport if you don't want to just stick to sport. Absolutely not. I'm right there marching with them. I'm right there, you know, the forefront. I'm blackity black, black, black. So I'm like Black Lives Matter to the end of me and marching out with a freedom march. But give them that option. Give them that option to either, if they want to, you know, stick to sport, if they want to be, you know, bigger than ball, quote unquote, give them that option. And it's there. Sue Bird said, like, you know, they just want to pick up a ball, but then you have people saying, I can't take off my black skin. It's not monolithic. Activism isn't monolithic. Being a professional athlete isn't monolithic. The WNBA isn't, despite their unity. But just out there, watch the game for the game, and whatever else comes with it is what makes the W so dope. They do step up and behalf. And the WNBA is so important in that way, off the court too. But pay attention for the W, and then everything that comes with it is just a plus.
Yeah, for sure. One thing that you said, King, that for us resonates to the point of this conversation and Ari's last response, these women, we edited your girls and not to women, he's ball. That's what you said, and you were a baller. You know what I mean? So that is the baseline appreciation. That is the reason that the league was started, and the league obviously has evolved to really represent the women that make up the league. And that is beautiful, but the game is beautiful too. Like, come on, let's go get this good basketball.
No, I mean, that's why I love having these type of conversations, especially like with women, because I can see another perspective that I really don't see. Like just the one little thing of correcting my like language when I said girls instead of women. Like, nobody else would have done that. But like, you're so adamant and so passionate about this. Like, I love hearing other perspectives, and y'all kind of open my eyes to like, hey, yeah, they do this, but love the game and love watching these women play as opposed to what they do off the court, which gives me a whole other perspective to open my eyes to. So,
and like, I mean, hey, and if you do only like their activism, that's fine. You're a fan of the game now. Yeah, so we welcome it all. Like, don't get it twisted. We welcome it all. Yeah. Just challenging the people out there.
You know, I wasn't going to let you be out here looking too crazy. That's
not and you didn't even sound crazy. That's just me being ridiculous. You know, that's just me being like, gather it. Yeah.
Hey sis, you know, we've got you up early this morning to record this week's episode of The Pod, but before we get you out of here, we got to do a buckets, boards, and blocks with you. Keep it W focused, because you are thoughtful, so you may have a block for me that I'm curious. But you know, buckets, boards, and blocks, the rundown. The bucket, give me more of this. I want all the buckets, triple-double style, Sabrina Ionescu. The board, don't know how I felt about that. Okay, it kind of works. Silver lining, like a rebound, which is a necessity to our game. The block, nah. No more of that. Get that out of here. Blocking shots like BG, okay? I need those from you as we enter year 25, the Count It campaign in the league, so near and dear to our heart, the W.
So many buckets for the opening week. I would say the healthy players returning. That's a bucket. Chicago's offense, that's a bucket. Vegas's adjustment, that's a bucket, period. Sabrina making history, that's a bucket. And just people finding their fit. So Bitnaya and those out there that are able to shine. Buckets on buckets on buckets.
Kia, Kayla McBride in Minnesota. Those are like the top three that come to mind on fit, but continue.
100%. Boards are the silver lining.
Yeah.
Though some teams did struggle opening weekend, many people aren't here yet. So the silver lining is that there are more players to be had or to be coming. So I can't wait to see how the teams are going to gel and get create an identity and keep that. I'm really looking forward to seeing this might not be a bucket board or block, but seeing Atlanta form an identity and how they're going to do with the new head coach, or you know, how is that going to work? They're a funny team. I just want them to have a reality show, really. Another bucket is Courtney Williams' YouTube.
Oh,
very funny, very funny.
I didn't know that. Okay,
they have a YouTube channel and I love it. Anyway, block. What I can do less of. I know it was showcased on Twitter, but I don't want Cheyenne Parker to have COVID.
Oh, I missed that.
Cheyenne Parker has COVID, so let's block all the devil is a liar, you know. Let's get the COVID out of every player, and hopefully it won't be more cases of that, and hopefully we'll be, you know, all vaxxed and waxed all summer 21 and full capacity in arenas again.
While I got you here, before we let you go completely, Simone Augustus retiring.
Yeah. So Simone, I'm sad to see her go. Love to see what she can teach these new generation of players. She hasn't officially announced it, which is why we haven't really been, you know, pushing it as much, because the official announcement, I don't know when this podcast is going to come out, is coming tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern. So that's when I'm going to, you know, we have her up on WNBA Weekly. That was my don't sleep, but just knowing that she has such an esteemed career and seeing, I love this, another bucket. I love this player to coach pipeline, player to staff pipeline that's been happening, but just celebrating her and seeing how people rallied around her to get that attention around the game that she, you know, gave so much to has really been special to see. But Simone, wish her the very best. I think it's so surreal that she ended up staying in LA. Like, what the irony of that, but also the irony that she's staying with Purple and Gold right where she started. So that's a full circle moment for her. She deserved better in her last few years, but it just, she's gonna keep giving back to a game selflessly the way that you know, she is. So
that the announcement coming makes me feel good, because now I feel like teams can respond, and even though she's not playing, she can still have a bit of a farewell tour when she pulls up as an assistant, because she deserves it. I mean, 4 titles, mm-hmm. 3 gold medals, mm-hmm. MVP, like top 11 on the scoring list. And
yep. Like 8-time All-Star, 4-time champ. That's crazy. Yeah.
Like, she's had an incredible run.
But yeah, she's
had an incredible run with you, my good sis. I'm so proud of what you're up to.
I love you so much. And King holding it down over there, his orange hoodie.
That was dope.
All right, Ari was dope. The WNBA opening weekend also collided with the play-in, guys. In fact, I was on set on Tuesday night for W with the Celtics-Wizards game on the television. And I must say, I definitely thought the Celtics were going to lose. I was wrong. Very wrong. Super wrong, King.
Bruce, I got to hear your thoughts on the game, because I know you a huge C's fan. So I got to hear your thoughts.
Well, everybody's going to talk about Jason Tatum. Had the 50 burger. Pretty much unstoppable. I know, King, you and I talked a little bit about how great Kemba Walker was in that game as well. But I'm telling you, Tristan Thompson last night became the guy that they thought they signed at the beginning of this season. Just grinding away on the boards, 6 offensive rebounds, had a double-double. I thought, you know, next to Tatum, he was probably maybe perhaps even more important than Kemba last night.
Okay, that's the C's perspective. They now face up with a matchup with the Brooklyn Nets. I'm taking Brooklyn in 5. Sorry, not sorry. But now, shout out to the play-in format, which I'll admit, I kind of forgot. The Wizards are not done yet. They have a chance if they can beat the Pacers on Thursday night. This pod drops on Thursday. I got to say from...
Wait, what?
So the Wizards lost.
I'm so confused. This play-in thing is so confusing to me.
I love it. I think it's hard. So the Wizards played in the 7-8 matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Celtics won that game. The Pacers beat the Hornets in the 9-10 matchup. The Pacers have to win another game to be the 8th seed, or the Wizards can win this game to be the 8th seed. So the Wizards and the Pacers play on Thursday for the last spot in the Eastern Conference playoffs.
Man, honestly, if I'm an NBA player, I'm pissed. I think this is horrible. That's terrible, man. Like, why? Like, as a fan, I love it. Like, I'm here for it. I'm going to watch it. I can't wait to watch it tonight. But as a player, like, why I got to do all this just make the playoffs? My record was clearly good enough to make the playoffs.
No, it's not. In the new format, it's not anymore. Like, be top.
But still, like, it's top eight. And then I came in number 7 and 8. Like, clearly it was good enough to make it. We worked hard for those games. And now I got to go fight my ass off every single, like, these last two games just to fight for the last spot. Just so I can go play Philadelphia. Come on, man.
Be top six, then. It's like, I hear what you're saying. I said this last week with Brendan. Human nature is to be resistant to change. And I get it. But be top six. Like, that's where we are.
I mean, you say that, but, like, if you was a player going through this, you'd be like, bro, this is stupid. This is dumb. I hate it. But as a fan, like, we here for it. But, like, I can only speak as, like, a kind of, like, a player because I'm just like, dang, I feel this. Like, that would make me so mad. Like, I would not want to do this.
Okay, so you would not want to do it, but now are you going to be like, I'm not playing? No, like, we play.
You got to play, I mean, for sure. But, like, at the end of this season, I'm going to be like, yo, commissioner, can we have a meeting? We got to take this out. Like, no.
Bruce, you think is here to stay?
You know, it seems like it kind of started last year in the bubble because the season was so, you know, truncated or whatever. I'm still kind of undecided on it. I mean, I understand both sides of this one. I totally feel what King is saying. If, you know, the rules have always been you finish top eight, you're in, 9 and 10, sorry, you're gone. To me, it's a great way to keep, you know, the fans of several more teams engaged right up to the end of the season. So, you know, when it's all said and done, you know, it all kind of comes down to business. It's a business decision. It's not so much a competition or even a fairness decision. It's a business call. So, I mean, look, it is what it is. The Players Association and the league are going to have a chance probably to discuss this going into next season. And, you know, I trust that they'll work something out. But, yeah, I mean, this was never designed to put LeBron James in jeopardy of missing the playoffs. Ooh, geez. That was not the intention of this thing. But ooh, now geez. If Steph goes for 50 and the Lakers are on the brink, what happens if LeBron doesn't make the playoffs? That's a disaster.
LeBron and them would have to lose two games, remember?
I know.
Tonight, well, let's preface this by saying that we're recording this on a Wednesday, right? And it's going to drop Thursday. However, tonight, Lakers, Warriors, oh my goodness. This skinny popcorn will be ready. I will be front row watching that. Oh my, I'm so excited for this. I can't wait.
I like it. I hope it's here to stay. And I agree with King. I will definitely be tapped in tonight watching those games.
Oh, hell yeah.
Thank you to this week's guest, my girl, Ari Ivory, government, Ariel Chambers, in case you're wondering. We wish her continued success, blessings, energy with 4Ys and all of her ventures, especially with Highlighter and Bleacher Report. All the things that she's doing to grow the game. Thanks to our super producer and guest, Celtics Insider, we'll call him, Bruce Bernstein, who hopped in with us today. Our editor, Kristen Woolley, who makes all of us sound good. Please check out our other Pure Hoops Media shows. This week, the Mike Wise Show features Howard Beck of SI.com. Full Court with Fisher and Kay has the best in college hoops. Catch and Shoot 2.0 with Otto Strong and Aaron Berlin has Jared Greenberg of Turner Sports. And he'll be covering the next Celtics series when it gets underway this upcoming weekend. BJ Armstrong is back with Eric Newman on the Pure Hoops podcast, which drops every Friday. And King and I are back next Thursday with a brand new edition of Buckets, Boards, and Blocks from Pure Hoops Media.
All right, let's go. Time to stick the landing.
Okay. Please, please, please keep your guard up and get the vaccination. Be smart and protect yourself and others when you are in public. At least try to social distance because Corona's not over with. But we're close. I can feel it. I don't know about Monica, but I can feel the closeness to getting rid of this COVID and putting a stop to it. If you like Buckets, Boards, and Blocks, please subscribe, rate us, review, and leave a 5-star rating, it would mean a whole lot to us. So until we meet again, Monica,
you got so many options. Enjoy your hoops.
Buckets, Boards, and Blocks with Monica McNutt and King McClure is a presentation of Pure Hoops Media.